Good morning. Welcome to Calvary. Y'all made a bunch of people mad over there or something. They didn't left. And no, don't sink the ship. I mean, we're listing as it is. We're heavy on this side. Good morning. We're glad you're here. If you're visiting, you're our special guest. We consider it an honor that you're chosen to worship with us. I invite you to tear off this tab on the bulletin, put your information in there if it's your first visit so I can make a connection with you. Couple of quick announcements. Wednesday night, if you're involved in that Bible study, do your lesson, but there is no class this week. Peggy's out because Roger has COVID, so we told her stay away from us. We don't want none of that. He tested yesterday, so as you can tell, we got the A team up here today. And another one coming, so we got this under control. The men's Bible study is going to start, I think that's next week, isn't it? The 26th, that's a week from Monday, so put that on your calendar. Be a part of that. Operation Christmas Child, we're still collecting toys and stuffed animals. Stuffed animals, remember, it needs to fit in the shoebox with other stuff. So make sure you keep bringing those. And last thing, right after the worship service this morning, I need 5 minutes for a quick business meeting for something really exciting, so make sure you hang around if you're a visitor for that. If you're visiting, we're going to let you out. If you're a member, you need to hang around. But let me open the service in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for allowing us into your house and into your presence. And Father, clear our hearts and our minds. Let us be focused on you. Make us pure before you and let us worship you today. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Stand with us, let's worship.
493, and we're going to sing all four verses.
The cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name, there to my heart was the blood. Safe from sin.
1, 2, and 5 are the verses, and Parker's going to read scripture for us.
O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. Psalms 104:1.
Pray with me. Father, we thank you for who you are and what you want to do in our lives. And as we worship you and give you glory and honor, we acknowledge that you are our only God and the only God worth worshiping. And it is in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. We are continuing our study this morning on David and Goliath, and as I told you last week, it is a story about perspective. And if you are going to slay giants like David did, your perspective has to be on a God who is capable of handling it. And our God is the only one who can handle the giants in your life. So let's glorify him.
And it's verses 1 through 4.
When he rolled up his sleeves, he ain't putting on the Ritz.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, so you'd better believe it. Our God is an awesome God. Starless in the void of the night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
The judgment and the wrath that he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. Our God.
God.
Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you are an awesome God. We praise you and honor you because you are worthy. As we study your word now, open our minds and our hearts. Give us ears to hear. Let the words that are spoken be yours, and give us knowledge of you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. We're continuing this story of David and Goliath. It's one that we know very well. We learn very early, generally, if you grow up in any kind of Christian environment, even if you're not, you know this story. And like I said last week, this is a story that I believe was 100% true and is 100% for you and I. It is a huge object lesson that God has orchestrated to make an impact in your life and my life. And the title of it is Five Smooth Stones. I believe it holds the key to the battle for you and I. The five smooth stones are what we need to take down the giants in our life. But the story, and the story for your life and my life, is one of perspective. Because as we left off last week, Saul, the first king of Israel, the guy handpicked by God to be king, is scared to death. I envision him just sitting on a stump, fretting about not knowing what to do. And his entire army is looking for him for guidance, and he's scared to death. Perspective is the issue. It's the issue for him, and it's the issue for us. Think about it like this. If the earth were the size of a golf ball, many times we feel like our problems are this big. If this were the earth, we feel like our problems are this big. And last week we learned that God is way bigger than this. But what happens to us is we get focused on the problem and not the solution. And all we can see is how big my problem is. It's bigger than the world. And how am I going to deal with it? That was Saul's problem. All he could see was the giant Goliath. And he said, I can't beat that problem. Guess what? He never could. And whatever your problem is, you can't beat it either. Especially as if all you ever focus on is the problem. Enter David, the guy who's just a shepherd. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. We're going to pick up where we left off. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17. While you're turning there, the video that we just watched, which is an awesome song and an awesome video. If you're wondering about the setting, where they were, they are in the ruins of what's called the Tower of David. When the city was expanded and the wall was built, the Tower of David was constructed. And how did we get from this young shepherd boy to a man after God's own heart is partially because of perspective. So let's pick up 1 Samuel 17. I'm going to start reading with verse 12. Now David was the son of a man named Jesse from Bethlehem in the land of Judea. Jesse was an old man at the time, and he had 8 sons. Let me stop there for a second. I told you last week, numbers are incredibly important to God in Scripture and in your life. Not every number means something in the Bible, but many times they do. Jesse had 8 sons. David was the youngest, we know that. 8 in the Bible means new beginning. Generally, when you see the number 8, it's about a new beginning. When does the week start over? On the 8th day. It's a new beginning. The reason that's important is God doesn't change. And many times, what you're going to see as we go through here, the numbers still mean something to you and I. But for us here, David, who's going to deliver Israel and guide them towards God, is the 8th son, the new beginning. Look at verse 13. Jesse's 3 eldest sons, they had already joined Saul's army. They are on this hillside. And remember our setting. We got 2 hills. On this hill is Saul sitting on a stump fretting about how big his problem is, while all his army is looking for him to guidance. And because he's scared, they're scared. In that group of people is David's 3 brothers. On this other hill is the Philistine army with Goliath, who is taunting them and God. There's a valley in the middle. And so as we read the story, we cut away from that scene and we see David, who's the son of Jesse. His brothers are in the battle. Really, there is no battle yet. They're just staring at each other and listening to Goliath make fun of them, which is exactly what Satan will do to you when you have a battle before you. Verse 14, David was the youngest son. David's three oldest brothers stayed with Saul's army, but David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. Look at verse 16. For 40 days, every morning, every evening, the Philistine champion came out in front of the Israeli army. So here we are. There's a battle. They're on this side. The Philistines are on this side. For 40 days, every day, Goliath comes out twice a day to make fun of them. That number 40 is incredibly significant. Throughout the Bible, the number 40 almost always represents a time of testing or trial. A time of testing or trial. You'll see it over and over again. I guarantee you it's shown up in your life before and you didn't even know it. Because God hasn't changed. And sometimes the test and the trials in your life, they'll last for 40 days, 40 years. How long is our work week in America? Anybody ever had a job that tests you for 40 hours a week? That's kind of interesting. Coincidence, maybe? I don't think so. It's a reminder, first of all, that there's a reason, but it also reminds you there's an end. Friday always comes, right? So, David is going back and forth. One of the things that happened in this day is the soldiers were ready for the battle and they're all lined up. And somebody from their family is coming back and forth to feed them, to bring food. Okay? And that falls on David. One day Jesse said to David, "Take this bucket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brother. And give these 10 cuts of cheese to the captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how things are going." Verse 19, David's brothers were with Saul and the Israeli army fighting against the Philistines. So David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts his father, as Jesse had directed him. And he arrived at the camp as the Israeli army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts of battles and cries. So this was an organized battle, okay? Every day we go out at the same time. And we're going to listen to Goliath, and we're not going to do anything because we're scared. Over and over and over. And it's because of the perspective that Saul had for this battle. He chose to focus on the problem, not the solution. And so here comes David, this young kid, wiry little beanpole, skipping along, and he walks up on this situation. And this is so incredibly awesome for you and I. An object lesson that we should not glaze over or pass by. Because David, we already know, spent a lot of time out in the field as a shepherd, and he spent that time with God. Remember my new rock? If you weren't here last week, I ordered these rocks, and on the bag it said, "Made in China, new rocks." Y'all know how long it takes to make a rock? There's no such thing as a new one. If you're going to go into battle, and imagine going into battle with just a rock. Even in this day and age, going into battle with a rock was suicide. Look what happens. If I can find my place. Okay. Verse 21. Soon the Israeli and the Philistine forces stood face to face each other, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brother. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shouting his usual taunts at the army of Israel. Verse 24, as soon as the Israeli army saw him, they began to run in fright. "Have you ever seen the giant?" the man asked. "He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him, and he will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempt from paying taxes." Oh, whoo! Getting serious now. Look at David's response. David asked the soldiers standing nearby, What will a man get for killing the Philistine and ending his defile of Israel? And look at this, because this is so important to perspective and our response to fighting giants. Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he's allowed to defy the armies of the living God? Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? You are a child of an awesome God. David's response to Goliath is, who is this jerk? And why is anybody letting him talk about God that way? He didn't focus on the problem. He focused on his God. And the giants that are in your life, if you focus on the problem, you're going to miss out on the fact that you are a child of a king, a God who is way bigger than a golf ball. You see, sometimes because of the sin in our life, we act like this is how big God is. And so we get scared when we see problems that are way bigger than this. And so David, in his perspective, is focused on God. Now my takeaway for us is, how do we be David and not Saul? Both of them professed Christians, if you will. But their perspectives were different. The first thing, if you're going to be a David, you have to live your life and be ready. Be ready. Look at verse 26 again. David asked the soldier standing by, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending the defile of the Israeli? Who is this pagan? Who is this? He's ready for what God has for him and focused on God and not the problem. The second thing that we have to get in our mind and be prepared for if we're going to be David's and not Goliath and not Saul's is that we have to look up when you're looked down on. Did you hear me? You have to look up when you're looked down on. Now here's David. He's walked in and he starts saying, what the heck? Look what happens. Verse 29. Oh, back up. Verse 28. But when David's older brother heard David talking to the man, he was angry. His brother. Ah. He was angry. What are you doing around here anyway? He demanded. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. Verse 29. David says, What did I do? What did I do? I'm just asking a question. He does not get deterred when his brother's trying to put him down. He's still focused on God. And so when the world looks down on you, you got to look up and keep focused on God. David's reply, what have I done now? David replied, I'm only asking a question. He walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Verse 31, then David's question was reported to the king and the king sent for him. David's the only one asking the questions. Why are y'all letting this guy defy God? Because God's big enough to take care of whatever problems in your life. The third thing is, if you're going to be a David and you're going to fight the giants in your life with rocks, you better stay connected. You see, all those times in the field taking care of sheep that it looked like nothing was going on, David was connecting with God. So I have a question for you. Which one do you want to be? Which one do you want to be? What's the difference between these two? Which one's dead? This one? Guess what? They're both dead. Because they're not connected. They're both dead. This one's not far from being this one. Because it has no supply. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Verse 5. If we are going to be Davids and we're going to fight the battles that come into our life and the Goliaths, who are big, scary problems, we have to live our life and be ready. We have to look up and we have to stay connected. John chapter 15, verse 5. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This can do nothing now. It looks good, but it's not going to last long. And the only thing that's going to keep you looking like this and not like this is a constant supply of God. And you can't just get a little bit of God and go do your battle, because it's not going to last. Your battle will quickly make you look like this, because you have to stay connected to God. You have to be focused on what God wants, because the only way to beat the problem is let God do it. Pray with me. Father, we acknowledge that apart from you, we can do nothing. And that as each of us face the giants in our lives, you are more than able to defeat them if we let you do it. Father, let us be focused on you. Let us be giant slayers by your hand. I pray for the people in this room. Father, there are many battles being faced. There are many standoffs going on, many trials and troubles that each of us face. Father, I pray for the hearts in this room that You will magnify Yourself in their life. That You will give them guidance and direction for the battle. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand with us and let's sing. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank y'all. Did a great job. As we go out those doors, there's going to be Goliaths in your way. If he's not there already, he's going to be there soon. Stay focused on God, not him. As I close us in prayer, then we'll allow any body that wants to slip out, and then we're going to have a quick business meeting. We'll be out here before 12. We will beat the Methodists to lunch. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You that You are a giant killer. And for the problems that are in this room, remind us that there are nothing we can't handle with You. Take us from this room and let us be a light to a dark world. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.